The history of the U.S. Dakota War of 1862 is one that many Minnesotans aren't aware. The treatment of the Dakota leading up to the war, the hanging of the 38 Dakota in Mankato on December 26th of 1862, and their eventual exile from the state remains a tragedy felt for many generations. Another story related to the war is even more obscure. It's the story of Joseph Godfrey, an African-American slave living in the supposedly free territory of Minnesota in the year 1830. Here is Godfrey's own account of his life.
I am 27 years old. I was born at Mendota. My father was a Canadian Frenchman, and my mother a colored woman who hired in the family of the late Alex Bailey. I was raised in Mr. Bailey's family. My father is, I think, living in Wisconsin. His name is Joe Godfrey.
The fact that Godfrey was a slave in a supposedly free territory gives rise to many uncomfortable questions. Walt Bachman, author of the book Northern Slave, Black Dakota, gives us some insight.
Joseph Godfrey was a product of army slavery in Minnesota. His mother was born into slavery in Virginia and purchased by an army officer at the age of 9. She was taken first to Detroit, and then she was taken by the same officer to Fort Snelling in the late 1820s. So one of the great ironies of Minnesota slavery history is that this Minnesota slave master kept Godfrey enslaved, while at the same time his mother managed to find her way to a lawyer in St. Louis. In fact, one of the same lawyers named Drake, who later represented Dred Scott in his famous freedom suit. She brought a freedom suit and managed to procure her freedom. So his mother was freed via the courts of a slave state, while Godfrey remained enslaved for another 10 years in the territory that was supposed to be free of slavery.
Separated from his mother when he was 5 years old, he was sold to a prominent fur trader by the name of Alexis Bailey. In 1847, Godfrey escaped the beatings and abuse meted out by his slave masters in Minnesota and sought refuge among the Dakota, whom he'd befriended as a child slave. He lived among Wabasha's band. When war broke out in 1862, he was among those fighting in the Battle of Milford near the town of New Ulm. This racially charged account was described in Walt Bachman's book.
Brown County Sheriff Charles Ruse, after listening to the first report of killings, rounded up a posse of 30 men and rode to Milford to investigate. When the sheriff arrived at Milford, the Indians were gone. There were scenes of devastation. Returning to New Ulm, he wrote an emergency dispatch to Governor Alexander Ramsey, ending his plea with this sentence. It was, as I am informed, Wabasha's band, a Negro leading them, who committed them.
Godfrey's role in the war is complicated. He's reviled by both sides for different reasons. After the war ended, he was among the 2,000 Dakota that surrendered. Here's Walt Bachman again.
He then is the first defendant to be charged in the trials that are held by a military commission after the war. And the evidence against him goes back and forth, and it's not completely conclusive on whether or not he murdered someone. The evidence is probably that he didn't. But nonetheless, he was a participant at the killing scene at Milford. And so he was convicted. But then he turned state's evidence and agreed to testify in later trials against Dakotas whose killings he had witnessed. And for that, he's reviled by the Dakotas and was at the time and still is today.
Though his role in the war may be complicated, we must remember that Godfrey was a man who knew little comfort during his life. Although he was spared the hanging in Mankato, the largest mass execution in U.S. history, he was still sentenced to serve 10 years in jail for his role in the war. He was the only African-American prisoner among whites and Dakotas, a victim of brutality and slavery. Godfrey died in 1909 on the Santee Sioux Reservation. For KFAI, I'm Allison Herrera.
10,000 Fresh Voices on KFAI is made possible by listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.